Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and joined his dad's residential brokerage business in 1954. He was named president of the company in 1970 and quickly became an innovative leader and pioneer in the industry. Under his leadership, Real Estate One has become the largest residential brokerage company in Michigan. His name, Dick Elsey, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with the CEO of Real Estate One, the largest residential mortgage broker in Michigan, Dick Elsey. Dick, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and your childhood?
Okay. Well, my father started a brokerage business by renting a desk in a lawyer's office in 1929. And that was a perfect timing to go into new business in Detroit or anywhere in this country. My mother was... in a way, a at-home mother that would be what you would describe her, except that she quietly, unbeknownst to my father, would pilfer a dollar or two out of his wallet when he was asleep at night and invested it in real estate. And over the years, she accumulated a rather significant array of commercial real estate properties. So that upon their death, she was the one that had the money, and he had the business and the glory.
What's the biggest thing you learned from your mom, Dick, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
Well, my mother was an adventurer, and she was careful with money, very, very careful with it, but she would take a shot at an investment that you might not think was worthwhile. And while she had a few that were less than spectacular, she really never got a bad one. And she had a bunch of good ones, but very, very conservative, very much towards get the mortgage paid off and get it free and clear. Wonderful landlord. She would fret for years over the possibility of raising rents $5, because she'd have to make sure that everybody, all the tenants, were able to carry it.
If your dad was still alive today, and he started this business in 29, right on the verge of the Great Depression, if he was here today, what would he tell us about us getting through these unprecedented tough times we're in right now?
Well, actually, all of the time he was in business, he didn't have any money. Nobody had any money. And it was just scrape through and survival. So he didn't know any other business than that. Careful, you don't have money, you can't spend it. You just have to work at it. And as a young child, I can remember thinking that my father was in the worked for the Treasury and manufactured money, because every night when he'd come home, my mother would say, "Did you make any money today?" And I took that literally, that he was in the money manufacturing business. Well, it wasn't quite that easy.
When you joined, what was your first job with your dad's business?
Oh, selling real estate, residential real estate. And that was our total business was real estate brokerage business in Southwest Detroit.
When you became president in 1970, you quickly merged a couple of firms.
Yes,
Gordon Williamson Company, Mather Stevens and Martin, Durham Owen Sons. How did that come about, Dick Elsey?
Well, we were in the mortgage business at that time. I had a mortgage partner in addition to the real estate brokerage business, and we wanted to build the brokerage business, and thought about bringing in some partners in the mortgage business that would join us in the mortgage business, and develop that business further. We had a meeting, and it was nice. We invited some brokers in, and that was about the end of it. And then I got a phone call from one of them who was at that meeting, and he said, you know, we've been thinking about maybe we want to do something more than just that. Maybe we'd like to merge all of our companies together. And if you'd be interested, let's sit down and talk about it, which we did, and thusly it ultimately ended in a merger of those four companies.
Describe, if you would, the residential brokerage business in 1970 when you took over the company.
Well, it had progressed somewhat. It probably was just entering the, some say, the 19th century, but really into the current environment. We had just introduced computers into the business to keep track of listings and better inform ourselves in the business of what was available and with some degree of accuracy, a considerable degree of accuracy that was not there before. And so we were just starting on this whole new era in the business itself and how services are presented to clients. Now, of course, the computer and all of the hardware that we have that gives access to anyone what's available anywhere in the country at any time. It has changed our job, really, because we used to know everything that was for sale, and if you were interested in purchasing something, you had to come to us to find out what was for sale. Now, when you come to us, you've already surveyed the market, and you've seen everything that's for sale through the Internet. And so you're much better educated and much better prepared to progress in the search for properties.
We're talking to Dick Elsey, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Dick Elsey, Real Estate One CEO. Dick, 40 years ago you took over as president. You merged these companies, and you control things. And everybody wants to be in control. And now with the technology, home magazines, open houses, the web, very often you feel like you have no control. What do you tell people who want to control everything today?
Well, I think that's true with every business now. It used to be when I first came in the business, everything sold on land contract. It was same terms. It was real simple. You had one form, filled it out, signed it, you closed the sale. You didn't need an attorney. It was just a real simple. Even the payments. Percentage payments were prescribed. Everything was there. Now you've got short sales and foreclosures and on and on and on and on and on. And our attorney once made a survey and came up with 37 different laws, rules, and regulations governing the sale of a home. It just is more complex. In any organization, you know, if we've accomplished anything, I did not accomplish it. Other people were part of accomplishing it. And the success of an organization is the organization, not an individual. The individual can come up with with ideas, but some, but it's, they've got to be executed. They've got to be done, and they also depend on other people now with the creativity from within the organization, and so it's just a different ballgame. To control, the control that you have is the element and type of staffing, and the selection of people and the type of people that you feel that you need to have in the organization. And then after that, if you pick right, they will run the organization.
Real Estate One, the largest residential brokerage in Michigan, 2010, $2 billion plus, 17,000 homes sold.
Actually, we just got the numbers yesterday, final numbers. It was our best year in number of properties that we've ever had in the 81-year history of the company, over about 17,500 units during 10, which I think I'm just delighted with the organization because I didn't do that. A lot of people, there's a lot of transactions, and they did it in a very, very, very depressed, difficult market.
What's your prediction? Take us out 10 years. What will the residential brokerage business be like in 10 years?
That is a wonderful question, and I wish I could answer it just clearly. The real estate brokerage business will be very much the same as it is now, and it will be very much different than it is now. And what we're desperately trying to determine and learn from other businesses, other industries, what are the opportunities out there that will make it a better and more efficient and smoother business? It will be more efficient. It will be smoother. It will be there will be more complexities, but they can be handled, and that will be our task to handle them to make it a very easy, smooth transaction.
Real Estate One, Dick Elsey, is actually a family of businesses. Can you tell us about the various businesses that make up Real Estate One?
Well, our largest business, of course, is the brokerage business, and we have three Real Estate One, Max Brook Company, and Johnstone & Johnstone are the principal brokerage components of the organization. We have, in addition to that, a mortgage lender, John Adams Mortgage Company, which ranks well in the state of Michigan on its own, is in the top 10 in mortgage business done. We also have a title insurance agency that does a significant amount of business. None of them do all of the business. I mean, our sales that we have deal with a variety of mortgage companies, not necessarily our own. If our own is the best one, then that's fine. But and the same with the title insurance company. And we also have a insurance agency for casualty insurance.
Dick, so many businesses headquartered in Michigan today are focusing their energies and CapEx dollars on business outside the state. For 75 plus years, you've always focused inside Michigan and continue as such. Why?
Well, we continue now at that, but we've been there, done that, and we decided that's not a magic thing, because we have, at one period of time, we probably had more brokerage offices in the country than any company, any other organization in the country back in the 70s and 80s. We had offices in St. Louis and Kansas City and North Carolina and Florida. And the business changed to the degree that it took more energy, resources, and finances to build a major organization in any community. If you weren't going to be one, two, or three, then you were like any business, the businesses were all consolidating. We have maybe two or three in our Detroit area. We have two or three of anything, whether it be a grocery store or whatever it may be. fewer and fewer chains. So we felt that if we had to build ourselves to be in that top two or three, or we were going to kind of be left out. And so we decided that it we did not have we could do it, but we better concentrate on where we do it. And we decided to concentrate on Michigan, and that was in the late 80s. And we are totally in Michigan right now, and feel we'll continue to be here.
Dick Elsey, arguably the oldest profession in the world is sales. If you walked into a third or fourth grade class, and somebody, some kid said, "Mr. Elsey, tell us about sales," what would you say?
I think the best, my mentor when I first came in to sell was a Polish-American who was not born in this country but was a very savvy salesman, just a delightful person to work with. And he gave me the best sales talk in a few words that I've ever heard, and that is, it starts with go see people. And that's the beginning. If you're not ready to go see people and tell them what you have often and in great numbers, I think that you've got to start there. You've got to be a people person enough that you enjoy meeting people and you enjoy asking them if they're interested in buying and selling whatever you've got whatever your wares are. And I think that's probably the beginning. And number one. And number two, you're going to make mistakes. And everybody's a bad salesman before they become a good salesman. And don't worry about it. Get on with it. Don't lose sleep over the fact that you made a mistake. It's okay. Seldom are salesmen put in jail for something, because those are minor mistakes that you have. They just aren't important.
We're talking to Dick Elsey. When we come back, we'll ask him about the difference between good salespeople and great salespeople. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Rasul on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Dick Elsey, who's a real pioneer in the residential brokerage business. Dick, you've had a lot of good salespeople, and you've been blessed to have some great salespeople. What's the difference?
I think it's it gets beyond income, because the top people are doing extremely well, and for them to do a little bit better is not. Financially is not a significant drive for them. I think it is important. Status and comfort and financial security are very, very important, and I don't want to underestimate that. But basically, they have they found something that they like, and they found that they're very good at it. And we tend to do more those things that we like to do and that we feel we're good at. And it's something that starts to build. I've seen people come into the business who want to do it just a little bit and do just earn a little bit of money, and they have some successes. And pretty soon they say, you know, I can do this. I'm able to get this. I'm doing pretty good at it. And so they get into it deeper and deeper and deeper, but it's basically the knowledge that they are good and that they can do it, and they are hungry for success. And there is a competitiveness in there, of course. We all are competitive. And they like to see their name up at the top. And our top sales associate is a lady that probably did $60 million in sales, maybe a little more than that. I don't have final figures for last year. She did it, and where she's tasting it now is that she's probably the top sales associate in Michigan, maybe in the Midwest. And these are all individual residential sales, not a whole bunch of them. She didn't sell a major building or anything of that kind. It was just a lot of residential sales. That's a lot of work.
In a depressed market.
In a depressed market.
Speaking of that, you and your industry were pioneers in seeing the value of women in sales. Why are women so successful in sales?
Well, I don't want you to get a lot of phone calls on this, but basically women, on average, work harder than men. They're used to, they're the ones who have the children. They do the heavy lifting generally with the children. That's changing a little bit, but they still do the heavy lifting. And with the children comes the household. They tend to be more efficient than men are because they have to use the example, a guy will go to the hardware store to get a wrench and come back home. Seldom does a woman go to the hardware store, buy one thing, and then come home. They will go stop 3-4 stops on the way to do other things. They are different. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that all women are going to be superior to men. Men do fine. They're just different. And we have probably as often as not the top associate is a man as is a woman, and it varies year to year. So men are extremely successful. Women are attracted to the business initially because there weren't a lot of choices for them to get into it. They could be a nurse or a teacher or a retail clerk or just a few industries. And this was an industry that allowed them to come in. So we attracted women who were very capable. In addition to that, there's a body of women that like the flexibility in the business. In effect, they're entrepreneurs. They can take care of other things, juggle other things while they're doing this business. Those are the people that don't, for one reason or another, are not really constrained to a 9-to-5 job, be there all the time, all of this time. They like to have some variety, and therefore we tend to attract very good people who need that type of an environment, and so they're successful, and they know the home, they know that's their life.
All great salespeople go see people.
Yes.
Another thing is, they are great listeners. Talk to us about how do I become a great listener?
Well, we all have something in our mind that we want to say or that we're prepared to talk about when we come into a situation, almost any situation. And the hardest thing to do is keep your mouth shut and let the other person talk. And just ask them some questions to find out what their situation is. Because the worst thing you can do is sell, X when they're not interested in X. They want Y. And that's been thinking Y all the time. And that's easily. So you need to find out what do they want? What does a person need and want when you talk to them? And the only way you find that out is from them. And you need to, then is the time, after you find that out, then is the time to sit down and see how you can bring their dreams alive and bring the things that they want alive. But you can't do it until you know really what they want.
You joined your dad's firm, Dick Elsie, in 1954, real estate brokerage. We just said that in 2010, 17,500 homes were sold by Real Estate One. And when we were prepping, when we had lunch a couple weeks ago, and I quote you, you said, Jack, each home is unique. How?
Well, it is something that we have that anchors us to our community. Averages, when they come out with average sales, you'll hear be deluged with average sales in the country went up or went down. Average sales prices went up or down in Detroit. Those are trends, and they give you a feel for it. but it's often a given market. Even our metropolitan market here, you can come out with a nice on average, you're comfortable. But one foot is in cold water and the other foot is in hot water. And you average the two out and you're supposed to be comfortable, and you're not. One foot is very cold and the other one is burning up. So you've got to look at what's going on in the individual market, because every house is different. You can buy houses identical side to side, and they're different because they're decorated differently. The landscaping is differently. You look out the window, you get a little different view. You look at their house, they look at yours. The sun hits, goes through the window differently. There's no other one in the world like that one.
Speaking of unique, what does a home mean to a woman?
Well, I think it probably means the same thing to a woman or a man. It is a place to come. Now, they may enjoy it differently, but a home to a couple, a woman will tend to look at that as her fiefdom. She'll refer it as my kitchen, my bedroom, and it will be. I mean, the house generally will fit to what the a woman wants and what she her desires and tastes, more so than with men. Not always, but certainly, generally that's the case. They know homes, and so they're very comfortable in residential sales because of their awareness of homes. Sometimes, and they're also smart enough to not tell other people what they should be buying, what their house should look like, what it should be. Again, you've got to find out what they like and what they're interested in, and then find that for them.
We're talking to Dick Elsey, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Dick Elsey, who's toiled and had a passion and a love for the residential brokerage industry for 66 years. Dick, if somebody wants to sell a house in today's market, what advice would you give them?
Well, the first thing is they've got to find a value. And it is extremely important that they get good advice and the best that they can on the real value of the home, and that generally in this market will not come as good news. Usually, the value appraised value that you get will be significantly less than you had hoped. The thing you have to keep in mind is that if you're buying and selling in the same market, that the home you buy will be also at a more reasonable price. That starts everywhere. And then the decision has got to be made, okay, does it make sense for me to go ahead with this sale? That's the pivotal position in making in selling the home. Once that's done, then you need to find out someone who can do the best job of marketing that home on the market. Find the best combination, someone who knows the market, your local market, and can market it and has the opportunities to market it widely. And you really have to market homes very widely now, because the buyers are there, but they're hard to find, and it's incredibly competitive to find the right home and at the right price.
You're a master at this industry, yet it's very obvious you're a student of it still today. after 56 years. In today's world, you have to keep learning while you're earning. And you continue to do that. Talk to us about constant learning as we toil in business today.
Well, right now, it's a candy land for the opportunity to learn how to do things differently and better and take advantages of the opportunities that there are. You know, we have, example, we have shifted our advertising, our promotion program in hugely into the IT area. And because everybody sees today, goes to the internet and finds out what's for sale. Everybody does that. So we've shifted out of print into IT, developed for the real estate business, a very substantial sized IT department. And we're increasingly trying to make sure the products that we represent appear widely, hugely widely, all over the country, and to ensure that they show well, and because we've got a lot of competition out there, and we've got Twitters, and we've got blogs, and we've got all kinds of opportunities to interact with people. It's our today's opportunity to go see people is huge for us if we learn how to use it and how to take advantage of it. So I would say today it's more important. In 1950, you didn't need to know very much, but today you do.
Real estate won the largest residential brokerage business in Michigan. Becoming the biggest and the best at something is very tough. But remaining the biggest and the best is even tougher and rarer. You had a great year in 2010, but that year is closed.
Yeah.
We're into 2011. How do we stay the best at something?
Well, as somebody once said, the first thing to do is get the rearview mirrors out of your car and start focusing ahead, and that we have to do. We know that the business will change in 5 years. You used the term earlier, 10 years. In 5 years, it will be different. And we have to be there, and we have to be doing things differently. We're not sure how, but we've made changes to try to move and stay with the business as people are demanding it. Everybody wants things easy, fast, inexpensive, quick. We just have to understand that it's going to be more of that.
Let's talk about leadership. You are a leader. Anybody that listens to you, it's, well, I didn't do it. You know, we did it. Our team did it, et cetera, et cetera. I want to go back to Bear Bryant. And they asked him once about being a leader and how do you get people to rally around something. And he said, I'd just say three things. One, if anything goes bad, I did it. If anything goes semi-good, then we did it. If anything goes real good, then you did it. That's all it takes to get people to win football games for you. You're very humble. Talk about leadership.
Well, I think he's right. Because if things go real well, you can't do it yourself. It's other people that do things that cause it to happen, and you've got to have that feeling of working together, and desire to do together, that makes it work. And all you can do is contribute a direction, and standards and expectations, and provide the environment for which people can grow and prosper to their best abilities.
Having a family business that stays successful through generations is very rare. One of the many things I admire about you and Stuart and Dan is that you're doing this, the third generation, How you doing it?
Well, we're very fortunate to have. I'm very fortunate to have two fine sons that have gone in the business. They're not amateurs. They've been there for a long time, and they know the business, and they work well together, and they are aggressive, but it's at the same time sensible. And where do you find that combination? If I didn't have them, I probably would have had to sell a company, because you reach a point where it needs the new vitality and the new ideas, and they have that vitality and those ideas, and they do a fine job.
As our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Well, first of all, go for your dream. Go for the things that you like to do, that you feel you can do, that you are interested in doing, and most importantly, understand you will make mistakes. You will not start out wonderful at anything. You will learn. If you concentrate on it and focus on it, you will get a little better and a little better and a little better, and someday you'll get out of bed and say, you know, I really know how to do this. I'm really good at this. And that will come if you devote your time and effort in that. Do not get discouraged by disappointments. Good salespeople get a lot of disappointments. They go right past them and get on their way in the right direction. And then expect to put in a lot of time and a lot of effort in improving yourself.
Dick Elsey, thank you for 56 plus years of serving families. You and your team have helped hundreds of thousands of families obtain and realize their dream home and make a life, make a family. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Honored to have you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.